Okay, so we're continuing here, continuing with some lulav problems, I guess. So the Rambam's basic principle is that he set down earlier in Halachos, in Perek Yud Aleph, Halachos, Hey and Vav, that if you do a mitzvah which is continues onwards, so then you, even after you do the Asiyah, even if you do it, you could still make the bracha. Like putting on tefillin or tzitzis or a shul or a sukkah. So the bracha of the mitzvah continues on, so you can still say the bracha afterwards. But if it doesn't continue on, if it's done once you do the action, so then it's too late. You can't say the bracha afterwards. Okay, fine. So let's leave that alone for a second. And then he says by lulav, he says you're talking about al or le. So he says since really it should be le because you're doing it for yourself. The problem is that you do it after the mitzvah because you do it after you pick it up. So it depends. If you do before you pick it up, then fine, you say le. But if you do it after you pick it up, then you say al. Because again, le implies the future. Al implies the past. So if you do it after you did it, since you already fulfilled the mitzvah, right, the Ram says, because once you pick it up, you fulfilled the mitzvah. So since you already fulfilled the mitzvah, so therefore it's too late. So now you say al. So the question is, yeah, but then you shouldn't say any bracha, because it's too late. Right? You're done. Are you done? So you'll say, no, maybe you'll say the mitzvah continues. It's an anuim, let's say, because you can pick it up and the mitzvah continues. It's not over yet. First of all, Rambam does say, you're yotzei dechavasa, but it sounds like a yotzei. Like, I don't know if in tzitzis, the moment you put on your yotzei, I mean, you could argue it keeps going. But fine, even if you want to say, though, that the mitzvah keeps going, fine. So then the problem is, say le, because by tzitzis and by tefillin and by sukkah, he still says le. He doesn't say al. But why didn't you say you already did it? You already fulfilled the mitzvah. It's too late. They'd say al. So apparently you'll say, because since it keeps going, the le is going on the future part of the mitzvah. So say the same thing by lulav. Say the same thing by lulav. Say it should go on the future part of the mitzvah. And therefore you should say le. So do you say that lulav, the mitzvah, still keeps on going, then say le? Or do you say it's over, and then don't say anything? But the reason why, I mean, on the surface, the reason why by tefillin, even after you put it on, I mean, it's a good question, but you could say as well, it's still the mitzvah's still going on. You're not yotze, it's not a mitzvah which you fulfill. The mitzvah is to always wear tefillin, so you keep wearing it as ever, it's not, you know, as you're wearing it, you keep doing it. So niach isn't necessarily an action of putting it on, I guess it refers to the wearing of it. You know, the having it on, something like that. So you could say le. Right? It's interesting, but that's right. I've seen it say something like that. And it's not that it says to wrap yourself. It's not the action of wrapping. It's the state of wrapping, rapidness. Okay. Right. Right. Good. So I think the good step now is to take a look at lulav. Right. I mean, because that's what we have to do. Right. We have to figure out what's the deal with lulav here. So we have to look at lulav. So let's see. Well, how does he describe it there? Okay. So,
would you be looking for anything in particular?
Well, I think I'd be looking for what's the mitzvah exactly, when are you yotze, what's the role of the nanuim, how does he formulate the nanuim, the shakings of the lulav? Like, are you really fulfilling the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah over once you pick it up? I mean, the Rambam says when you pick it up, it's over, you're done, you fulfilled it. I mean, if it's totally, really, literally over 100%, then you can't say racha. So it must be somehow it's going, but not in the same way as tzitzis is going. So I'd see, how does he formulate that? Now, why is it going? Presumably because the nanuim, they pick it up. Picking it up, you fill it, but there's still nanuim. Now, what are nanuim? What is this mitzvah? What is the idea of shaking it? How does that fit into the mitzvah? It seems that's where the answer is going to have to lie. We just have to figure out, you know.
Right.
Let's see how he says it. So this is in Zmanim. It's in Hilchos Shofar Sukkah V'lulav. See, there's a few halachos. This is interesting. Perek Zion. Here's a funny one. This is a good one. Here, you want to hear a problem? So it's this is just like a straight problem, which I think the Kesef Mishnah has the right answer for. But ready? Mitzvah min amavchar. This is Zion Vav. Mitzvah min amavchar. It's the best choicest mitzvah. Lego lulav hadas v'arava. you wrap them all, you bind them all together, the lulav, the hadas, and the rava, right? And you make them into one bundle. Because you know lan lotzis b'ayim, and when you take them to fulfill the mitzvah, mivarech tchila al netilas lulav. First you say al netilas lulav, hol v'kun smuchan lo, because they're all very close to you. V'achar kach notel ha'agudah zos b'yamino v'esri smala. And then you take the this in your right hand, this in this left hand. Vanilla and dark is also. And then basically you take them in your right and left, and then you hold them right side up. Put the. And it continues. Okay, how you do it. But if you don't bind them and you just take them one at a time, you're also Yotze. But this is if they're all near you. So again, you're saying is. So what's the case? He's saying is. When are you making the bracha? Before you pick them up or after you pick them up? Before, right? Because he says you say the bracha of a kulan smuchan lo. They're all close to you. So close to you means you didn't pick them up yet, right? So so what bracha should you make? Leh. But he says, mevarech tchila al netilas lulav. And in this, the kudos one, this new one, volume one of the kudos, they have in quotes, al netilas lulav. So the Kesef Mishnah learns, right? It's a problem. It's an open contradiction. He says if you do, he says openly in brachos, if you make the bracha before you just take it, so then you, after you take, I'm sorry, before you take it, you say la. You say la, right? He said that openly.
Wow.
Right, that's an open contradiction. Right, he says, in birach kodem sheyitol mevar litol es alulav. Kamal shebesukah. Right, I mean, there's no, they can't have more open contradiction than that, right?
Yeah.
So, it's funny, but Kesef Mishnah wants to say, I think he's right, I don't know how else to answer this, is that he doesn't mean al netilas lulav. It's not, I take out the quotes, this guy shouldn't have quotes. He means mevarech tchila al netilas lulav. He's not quotes. You make a bracha on the taking of the lulav.
Oh,
now what does it mean? Because you're picking up, this very halachic thing, you're picking up the three things in one bundle, right? Lulav, hadas, and arava. Now what bracha do you make? Do you make a bracha on the hadas, on the lulav, on the arava, on all of them, on the bundle? So he says, you mevarech al netilas lulav. You make the bracha on the taking of the lulav. And the Gemara, I think, says, because that's like the tallest one. It's the main one. So you make the bracha on netilas lulav. But he's not getting into the text. He's not giving you a quote of what to say.
Yeah,
what you're making bracha on. You're making the bracha on the lulav. Maybe I'll tell you, netilas lulav. Right? But it's not a quote. I mean, it's still funny, but I mean, we're on. Al could mean on. Okay. Not Asher Kedushan Mitzvah. Sometimes he does say, Baruch Asher Kedushan Mitzvah Tzivanu, and then you can't say that. But here he's just saying, all right, it's a description of what you're making the bracha on. Exactly.
That's
right? But, I mean, clearly in our Allah, he's telling you whether you say Al or Le, you can't say that. And you can't say Le. Le is definitely a quote. But Al could mean sometimes in quotes, it's part of the bracha, or it could just mean on this lula, you know? I think it's because the Mishnah said that. But, I mean, you could either say that, or you could just say, that's one answer, or you could just say, he doesn't want to get into the details of the bracha. He just means on to lulav and whatever. But that's hard. I mean, then don't pick the wrong one. I mean, you know, I mean, that's why it's harder. But here,
it
makes sense. It means on to lulav. He's not getting into the text. Why? What text? He'll learn the whole brachas. What text? He's you know. Okay, so that's just a cute answer. But you know, I don't know. You know, it's not the most beautiful thing to say. But I mean, it's just like an impossible problem. Otherwise, it's a contradiction. You know. Okay, fine. So that's not our problem. I just thought I'd show you that. Okay. So it turns out, though, I mean, I don't know what the if the Mishnah is correct, which it seems like he is, then this is bad because they have quotes, which is wrong. It's kind of, I mean, I don't know why they do that. They're making up their own quotes. The Rambam didn't put in quotes. There's no quotes in the Rambam. Yonah's calling. So the mitzvah. So this is in the Rambam, Perek Zayin, and Hilchos Shofar Segulah Halachatas. So he says, when you pick up, when you pick up these four species, so you can pick them all simultaneously, or one after the other, your right hand, your left hand. But you have to pick them up upright, okay, the way they grow. Fine. But if you do it down, not the way they grow, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. Fine, that's the side point. Now he says like this, umitzvah kehilchasa. And it's the mitzvah according to the proper halachic way to do it. Shiagbiya aguda shalashlosha minim biyamin. That you pick up the bundle of the three, the lulav, hadas, and rava in your right hand. The esrog be small, and you the esrog in your left hand. The yolech, the yavi, the yala, the yored. And you you basically shake it in all the different directions. And you shake it three times in each of the four directions. Okay, Ketzad, Moloch Manane Arosh Shosh Pamim, maybe Manane Shosh Pamim, he tells you how to do it. And when do you do it? Veheichon Moloch, maybe Bishas Kriyas HaHal. You do it during HaHal. Behodu Hashem Kitov, Tchil Vesav Anah Hashem Hashiyana. Vechola, you're fine. Okay, so basically saying is the mitzvah kehilchasa. The mitzvah, which is not clear what that means exactly, but the mitzvah according to the proper halacha is to pick it up in your right hand and left hand, and then to shake it. Okay, and then to shake it. Okay, now what does he mean, mitzvah kehelchasa? Does he mean that it's ma'akev? Does he mean that without doing this, it's you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah?
No.
No, he clearly doesn't. Because first of all, he said before that the right hand and the left hand is... He says it could be in your right hand or your left hand, then you fulfill the mitzvah. It's just the mitzvah ke'elchasa, it's better. The proper way to do the mitzvah is to, it sounds like the better, the full fulfillment of the mitzvah is to do it in the right hand and the left hand, and to shake. But you can't say that without shaking you don't fulfill it, because the Rambam says that the reason why when you pick it up you say al, is because once you picked it up you fulfilled the mitzvah. You didn't shake yet, you just picked it up. So apparently, once you pick it up, you fulfill the mitzvah. So now it's a separate thing to shake. Separate thing. Right? An additional thing. Okay? An additional thing. So the question is, does this help us answer our question? Is that, so still, why don't you say, but Baman is the mitzvah of picking up the lulav, you already fulfilled. You fulfilled the mitzvah. So now you shouldn't be able to make a bracha anymore. I mean, unless you'll say this is really part of the mitzvah, but it's part of the mitzvah, then you should be able to say leh. Like, what's the role? What's the role of the shaking vis-a-vis the mitzvah, such that it makes sense that you can still say the bracha, yet you can't say leh, you can't say on the future. Whereas when it comes to tefillin and tzitzis and sukkah, you could still say leh, still on the future. So I think you have to ask yourself the following question. And it's you'll see, it's very interesting. There's a practical nafkamina to this, which is a brisker thing, but we'll get to it. But the question is how do you understand taking the lulav and the nanuam? The shaking. Nanuam means the shakings of the lulav. Okay? So how do you understand the myth? Is it pshat that there are two things? There's one halacha like David's saying. One way is that you have to take the lulav. And then there's another thing that you give shevach to God, you give praise to God through using the lulav and shaking it and doing halal and showing that God is in control of all the different directions and He's the one who gave us these great species and whatever. It's a separate thing. There's one mitzvah is to take it and take the minim, that's the mitzvah, and there's a separate mitzvah, separate idea to give shevach, to use it as a vehicle of praise. To take this object, and they happen to be both the same object, but they're two totally different things. Right? Or do you say that those are somehow one? Okay? Or do you say those are somehow one? Which you have to show how. Okay? So, I'll show you that I think you have to say they're somehow one. Because the very language of umitzvah kehelchasa. The mitzvah, the proper way to do the mitzvah is to pick them up and shake them. So if you're going to tell me that it's really a separate thing, it's not mitzvah kelchasa. The mitzvah kelchasa, the proper way to do the mitzvah is to pick it up. And then there's a separate thing. Oh yeah, there's another mitzvah on this day, which is that you shake the lulav and esrog when you do halal. Right? But he doesn't say that. He says mitzvah kelchasa, which means the proper way to do it is not to just take them. The mitzvah is to pick them up. But it's to take them for the purpose of giving shevach. To take them for the purpose of using them in the halal. So your picking it up is a different picking it up if you just pick it up and put it down, versus if you pick it up and use it as a tool of shevach and of halal, a tool of praise, of teaching ideas. So it's actually, it's a mitzvah kelchus. I mean, it's the better way to do the taking. It's the manner of doing the taking that the taking sets the stage for nanuim. Nanuim means you're shaking it. You have to be holding it in order to shake it. So you use your taking to set the stage as the platform for the shakings and for the shavach. Okay, and they're related. And if you do that, the taking is a superior taking. Now, true, you fulfilled the mitzvah the second you pick it up. You can't say you haven't. But it's like you're still involved in the taking, and you're qualifying it that it's a better taking. It's kehilchasa, because now the taking is being enhanced, because it's not just the taking for taking's sake, but it's the taking for the sake of using it for Allah, for Shabbat. Now, a nafkamina, we'll get to the brachas in a second, but there's an important halacha that comes from this, which I don't understand why, but this is why. Which is that there are some who have the minhag, the custom, to in the morning, they go into their sukkah, and you pick up the lulav and esrog. You shake the lulav and esrog in the morning. You wake up in the morning before you go to shul, take the lulav and esrog, you make the bracha, you shake it, and then you go to shul, and then you do it again later, you know? Right, that's, I didn't hear that. A lot of people do that. It's common. It's a common thing. I don't know. Maybe it's brought down somewhere even. I don't know. But I didn't look into it. But I just know there's a lot of people who do that. But I forgot who. Some briskers, probably. I don't know. I don't know who. But someone said that it's not a good idea. And it's based on this Rambam, I think. Because it's mitzvah kehilchasa. That the mitzvah, the nanuim, the halal, is really the proper way to fulfill the mitzvah is to pick it up for the purpose of using it in halal. And if you do it at home in the sukkah, so you're doing the mitzvah not in the proper way, because you're not doing it with halal, so you're doing the mitzvah in the inferior manner, and then you go to shul and then you do halal, but that's not part of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is already done. Fill the mitzvah when you do it at home, then you put it down, then it's over, and then you go to shul, and then you just pick it up and do the nanuim. So it's true, then you have the mitzvah in the lower form, and then you have the nanuim. You have the shakings at shul. But the mitzvah is the mitzvah kehilchasa, the best way to do the mitzvah is to take it and shake it in halal. And your taking is a taking for the purpose of halal. You're taking the sukkah isn't for the purpose of halal, you're not doing halal in the sukkah, you're doing halal in shul when you get to shul. So I'm pretty sure it's based on this, I mean, I knew there was something like that, but I'm sure it's based on this Rambam, mitzvah kehilchasa. You could have, they're viewing it as two separate things. One mitzvah is to take lulav, another mitzvah is to use it during halal, two totally separate things. It's not true. I mean, that is also true, I guess, but it's the mitzvah is enhanced if you're taking it as for this purpose. So far, so good? Okay. So now, when it comes to the bracha, the thing is like this. Is that, have you fulfilled the mitzvah when you pick it up?
Yeah.
So you have to say yes, because the basic mitzvah is l'kach t'machan, to pick it up, to take it. So you have taken it. Now, you're going to do better, or whatever. It's very nice, but you fulfilled the mitzvah. Mitzvah is done. Okay, fulfilled the mitzvah. So therefore, you can't say. Therefore, you definitely can't say left. But now the question is it over? Is the taking over? Okay, is the taking over? But the answer is it's not over, because the taking is the platform for the shaking. Okay, so there's the. It's not the taking. It still exists because the mitzvah kehilchasa. I'm still involved in making this, enhancing the taking. Okay, the mitzvah is to take it, but the taking could exist on levels. So I'm still involved in enhancing the taking, because taking means I'm taking it for something. So I could take it and put it down, and I've just taken it for taking. But I could take it for the shaking. So if I'm taking it and I'm still involved and I'm going to use it for the nanuim, so now you don't say it's history. If I do slaughtering, I shat the thing, it's over. It's a history. There's nothing left. But here it still exists because the taking itself is in the process of being qualified and being enhanced. Okay, because taking means, the taking points to what you're taking it for. See, slaughtering is over. There's no, I mean, what you can do afterwards is history. There's nothing to do with slaughtering. But here, the mitzvah kehilchasa means taking lends itself to extension. Takes lends itself to being extended.
So if you put it,
that's what I would say. It's a good point. But I would say that if you, according to this, if you took it, you picked it up, picked it up, and then put it down, and then you filled the mitzvah, and then you wanted to pick it up again, so I'd say it's too late. To do the nanuim, I'd say it's too late. Like if you picked it up in your sukkah, and you forgot to make the bracha, and then you go to shul, and you pick it up again, I'd say, yeah, it's too late, you wouldn't do it. I think. I mean, why not? Yeah, you already filled the mitzvah. It would be like you're just doing it again, but you already did the mitzvah.
It's taking continuing.
Right, it's not taking continuing. It's a different taking. It's a new taking, but it's not taking a mitzvah.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you'd say, I mean, there's another Gemara which talks about Anshe Yishlang used to carry around the loaves all day long. There's a thing like that. I mean, so I don't really know what the deal with that is. So, I mean, it could be there's some other kiyam to hold people to hold your badula. But so I'm not actually passing that. But I'm saying is that
based on
this idea, right, you'd say it's specifically because you're still it's right after you took it. Yeah. So again, so let's compare the bracha. So when it comes to, let's say, tzitzis, so the mitzvah of wearing tzitzis is the wearing of the tzitzis. Yeah, that's the real mitzvah. Is the wearing of the tzitzis. So it's true you are being wrapped in tzitzis, the state of being wrapped. So it's true you should make it before you start or before you wrap. But if you don't, so now you're continually being wrapped in tzitzis. So the mitzvah is a continual ongoing mitzvah. So at any point I could say the bracha on the future fulfillment of the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is really being fulfilled continually. All that's past. It's not that I fulfill the mitzvah, it's just that the mitzvah is, which is that I started the mitzvah, but I'm still continuing it on the same level. It's the same thing, like living in the sukkah. It's not like I fulfill the mitzvah, living in the sukkah is a continual mitzvah, so I'm just right in the middle of it, and so it goes in the future. But in lulav, the mitzvah is to take it, and you have taken it, and you're yotzei the mitzvah. You fulfilled the mitzvah. But it's just saying is that if you don't just take it, but if you take it and shake it and give halal, so that's an enhancement. In other words, it still could be enhanced, but it doesn't mean you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. So you're wearing the tzitzis for more. It's not enhancing the thing which I've done. It's a continually being involved in the mitzvah. This isn't like, it's not like I'm continually taking it. I mean, the taking it is to pick it up, and I took it. It's just that I'm now using that. It's a mitzvah kehilchusa that I use it. That I use the taking for it to be a vehicle for something else. You know what I mean? So then that's an enhancement in the mitzvah. So just because I could still enhance the mitzvah but give a kiyum to the taking, doesn't mean that the mitzvah isn't done. You know, I fulfilled the mitzvah. I mean, in terms of the tzivoy, that's a good way to say it. In terms of tzivoy, I guess that's what David was saying, is that in terms of the command is over. Once you pick it up, the command is over. You're not obligating, but then you're totally fine. There's no... You know, it's true, there's an additional idea. It's better, you can enhance it. That's very nice. But when it comes to the tzitzis, the command is to wear tzitzis always. And if you have a four-corner garment, you're always obligated to have tzitzis on them, and you're wearing it. That's a continual commandment. So therefore, it's not the command is over. The command isn't over. Or living in the sukkah. The command of living in the sukkah, you filled it, you haven't filled it, the command keeps going. So the tzivoy is still going. I mean, but in lulav, the tzivoy isn't going. The tzivoy is done. Fulfillment, the commandment is done. It's just, but it's not history, because it still exists as the taking, which was the mitzvah, exists still as a platform for the kiyam, for the nanuim. So therefore, I could still relate to it in terms of shevach. I can still give shevach on it, but I have to give shevach on it in the past reference, because it's on give shevach on the taking which I did, which is now existing as a platform for the future. But the shevach isn't on the future. I'm not giving shevach for the nanuim. For the shaking, the mitzvah isn't the shaking. You know what I mean? But in tzitzis, I'm giving on the future. Yeah, I am giving on the future. One thing we're not explaining is, I don't want to explain this. I don't know if I will at some point, but I just want to point out to you, there is one difficult part of the language here in the Rambam. He says that if you take the lulav, if you make the bracha before you take the lulav, then you say, litol es halulav. Merach litol es halulav, kimo leshe b'sakah. Just like you say leshe b'sakah. What does that mean, Kamal Leshev Sukkah? What does he have to tell you that for?
Oh, it was the
Kamal? Yeah, what's Kamal Leshev? I mean, it's just saying, then you make the take the law. But like, we understand what Leshev means. He's already told you all these things. I mean, it must be there's something which would be bothering him about saying to take the lulav, and he's answering that somehow by saying it's like taking the lulav, sitting in the Sukkah. Something. I mean, Islam doesn't just throw that in. We understand what it means. We understand Litol as the lulav. What's the problem? What, you want to give me another example of a bracha that starts with Le? He just did that through the whole bracha. So it must be held to some sort of commonality between, say, Le Sheva Sukkah and Litos Alulav, which that somehow solves. And I don't know, you have to think what it is, but I'm just saying. Just about making note. Okay, but let's let that go. Good question. Okay, so now we're back to Erev. Okay.
We're going to go over this.
This is going back. So the Rambam basically set down his rule. Okay, we're going to have to get back into this. If you missed this, then follow. Okay, but basically the Rambam set down his basic rule for making the bracha. When do you say al, when do you say le? Is if you're doing the mitzvah for yourself, you say le. If you're doing the bracha for someone else, you say al. Okay, that's his basic rule. Okay. If you're doing it for yourself and the others, which is the crossroad here, then it depends. If it's an obligation, then you say, it's a chova, it's an obligation, then you say le. If it's not an obligation, you say al. Okay? So if it's like an obligation like shofar, you're doing it for yourself and you also want to do it for others, have other people in mind, then you say le. Shmuel kol shofar. But if it's like Erev, where it's not an obligation, you don't have to place an Erev, so then you say al. Then you say al. Okay, al mitzvah Erev. It is not an obligation, and you're doing the Erev for you and the rest of your community. So therefore you say al. Okay? Therefore you say al. Okay. Now, the question is, one kind of Erev is he talking about? Because you'll see, there's three kinds of Erevs. Okay? And let's say you did the Erev for yourself. According to this, let's say you did the Erev for yourself, then what would you say?
Le.
You should say le, right? Okay, because that's what he's saying. It's because you're doing it for yourself and for others, and it's not an obligation. So then you say that's why he's saying al. But if you did the Erev for yourself, you should say le. Okay, fine. So you could say that, no problem. Now, again, remember, later the Rambam says, mitzvos which are optional, Kedivrei Rishos, totally optional, like slaughtering, shechita, right? What's the second one? Oh yeah, washing your hands. You don't have to eat. You don't have to eat meat. You don't have to eat bread. So those you can't say le, because it's le implies there's an obligation, and there's no obligation. So you say al. Okay, you can't say le if there's no obligation. Okay, it has to be either a chova or in a chova. Okay, not totally mandatory or not mandatory, but apparently, remember we set up there's like three categories. There's like, for instance, we said there's a mitzvah which is absolutely mandatory, like hearing shofar and hashanah, and there's a mitzvah which is
conditionally mandatory.
If you have a house, you have to put up a little mezuzah, let's say, and then there's totally optional, like slaughtering. So we said is that the Rambam says, so if it's totally optional, slaughtering, none of us ever did slaughtering, there's no obligation, you never have to slaughter, okay? I mean, some shochet in Indiana or whatever does, but it wasn't with us, right? So there's never an obligation, or at least for regular meat. For karbanos there is, but whatever, normal one there isn't. So therefore you say al. So the question is, so what's Erev? Is Erev, would you say Erev, just without thinking about Erev, but from the structure of the halachos, should Erev fit into the totally voluntary thing, or should it fit into the chova category?
Totally
the ain't a chova category. Totally voluntary thing. Because why? Well, here's my point. Here's what I'm thinking. It's like, if it were, I'm not 100% sure about this, but if it were one of those totally voluntary, so then you say al anyways. It's nothing to do with doing it for yourself or others. It's nothing to do with anything. Just say, since it's totally voluntary, even if you did it for yourself, you wouldn't say le. Like the Rambam sounds, the reason why you're saying al by Erev is because you're doing it for yourself and for others. Right?
And it's not a chova.
And it's not a chova. But not because purely because it's voluntary. It's, if it's voluntary and did it for yourself, it would seem, do it for yourself, it would seem, that you really would say le. Right? But if you're going
to
tell me that, right? If you did it for yourself, Erev, like you said, what's the implication of the Rambam? If you did a little Erev for yourself, then you'd say le. But what do you mean? But isn't it, if it's totally voluntary, so then you should say al anyways.
Doesn't the voluntary ever come in after?
It does only come in afterwards, that's true. But still, it's like a bad implication, you know?
What's the implication?
The implication is that when it comes to Erev, the reason why you're saying Al on Erev is because you're doing it for yourself and for others. Right? But it's not true. We say it's Al because it's totally voluntary.
And but because you're doing it.
No, oh yeah, and. Well, again, there's voluntary and totally voluntary. You know what I mean? If you tell me Erev fits into the totally voluntary category, then totally voluntary, what, even if you're doing it for yourself, you're going to say Al. Right? Like Shlita or washing your hands, then you always say Al. It simply can't have Le. But the fact that the Ram puts Erev in the original discussion sounds like in theory Erev could tolerate Le. If you were doing it for yourself, you would say Le. Problem is, if you're doing it for yourself and for others, since it's not 100% mandatory, it's this middle category, so therefore it ends up getting now. You know what I mean? Right? So, it's kind of deducing from the Rambam. I mean, that's the simplest way to read the Rambam. So that Erev fits into this category of not 100% mandatory, not 100% voluntary, kind of this in-between stage. Right? And therefore, it depends if you're doing it for yourself and for others, so then you say Al. Doing it only for yourself, you would say Le. It would seem. Okay, fine. So now again, we don't know what kind of Erev the Rambam is talking about. Okay? Again, this is where I'm going to have to give you some facts here and tell you what do I even mean by that. Okay? Okay, so let me read you Rambam. So there's an institution of Erev Tavshilin. Okay? Erev Tavshilin means like this.
What are you reading?
I'm reading in the Rambam, in the Rambam's in Hilchos Yontif. But first, I'm not going to read yet. But, why not? The beginning of Perek Vav in Hilchos Yontif. Okay? I'm going to read it, I'm just going to translate it. Okay? So if Yontif comes out on Erev Shabbos, so let's say Yontif's on Friday. Right? In America, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Or just Friday, Shabbos, right? Yontif comes out on Erev Shabbos. Okay? Ain't open Vashon, but you're not allowed to cook on Yontif for Shabbos. Okay? You're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Don't get nervous. We do. Okay? Because we have an Erev. Okay? You're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. This is a Durabana. This is only a Durabana. I mean, the Torah really could. The Rambam says only Durabana so that you won't come to cook from Yom Tov to Chol, the regular day. On regular Yom Tov, you're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov for, let's say it's on Tuesday. You can't cook for your Tuesday night meal. Dinner after Yom Tov. Because you're right to cook. You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov in order to have food for Yom Tov. Okay? Or Yom Tov. Okay? But you can't cook on Yom Tov. If you do, you violate the Raisa. You're just cooking. You're right to cook on Yom Tov. You just want to cook just for the heck of it. You're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. You're cooking for Yom Tov. Or for Shabbos. But you can't cook on Yom Tov for a Chol, for a weekday. Chol means the weekday, or a regular day. So this says Minat Torah though you could cook for Shabbos, but why? If you allow a person, I don't know why, because it's also a kedusha, whatever. So it says, but a person can get confused because it sounds like there's no difference. And you think if you cook for Shabbos, you could cook for Yom Tov for a weekday also. So therefore, in order to remind people that to make sure that no one would come to cook from Yom Tov to Chol. So what they did is they say, you're not allowed to even cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So certainly everyone's going to say, I'm not allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Chol. Okay? And therefore, he says, Rambam says, if you take a cooked item from on Erev Yom Tov, that you rely on it and set it aside, that you're cooking from here, using this somehow, you think about this when you're cooking on Yom Tov, that it's really Yom Tov for Shabbos, then it's okay. Okay?
Wait. What did you do?
You basically take a cooked item on Friday.
You have to cook it on.
You have some sort of cooked item on Erev Yom Tov. Let's say Yom Tov is
Friday.
So it's Thursday, Friday. Shabbos Yom Tov is Thursday, Friday, right? So on on Wednesday night it's going to be Yom Tov, right? Right, Wednesday night. Yeah. So on Wednesday today you make an item, a cooked item, and you set this thing aside, and somehow this reminds you that you put it aside and you make some sort of declaration, you make a bracha, you say some declaration, and using this, it will allow us and remind us that when we're going to be cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos, it's only because the fact that it's cooking for Yom Tov to Shabbos. Okay, it's not, sounds wacky, right? Wacky. And he says, why is it called an Erev? What does Erev mean? Erev means to join. Okay? What are you joining? Okay? Get this. Okay? So he says, just like an Erev that you make in a courtyard. Okay? So a courtyard basically, so let me fill you in another fact. Okay? I'm going to digress. Okay? Because I realize I'm going to have to digress for a little bit. Okay? You know what? Put this aside for a second, why it's called Erev. So Erev, basically the idea is, what do? You take this food, you put it down on Wednesday, and you make a declaration. And the Ram says like this. He says, this is in Vav Chas. If you place an Erev Tashil, you have to make a bracha. Okay? And what do? First of all, you make a bracha. What's the bracha? Asher Kedashom Sosu Tzivanu Al Mitzvah Erev. Al. Okay, Al. Okay, who are you making it for? So he says, and you state the following: with this Erev, it will be permitted for me to cook and to bake from Yontif to Shabbos. And if you are doing the Erev for yourself and for others, so then you say, with this Erev, it will be permitted for me and for so-and-so and so-and-so, or and for the city, members of the city, to cook and to bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Okay, so in the text that you say, it depends, you vary it, whether you're just doing it for yourself or whether you're doing it for other people, because you could do it for other people. Like the rabbi of the community, you do it for the whole community. Okay? So what is Ram talking about here when he says the bracha? Are you doing it for yourself or are you doing it for others also?
First time?
When he says the bracha, he just says the bracha, you make Al Mitzvah Erev. So what's that on? That's when? When you're doing it for yourself or when you're doing it for others or both?
Unclear.
Well, I'd say, to me, I'll answer is that it doesn't matter. You always say Al Mitzvah Erev. Because if it were the case, Erev Toshilin, definitely you could do for yourself or you could do for yourself and others.
Right.
And the Ram tells you exactly what text you should say if you do it for yourself and what text you should say if you do it for others. Right, but he doesn't tell you what bracha to make if you're doing it for yourself and what bracha to make if you're doing it for others. Right, he doesn't say that. He should have said, if you do it for yourself, then you say le, and you state the following text: this will permit me to whatever. And if you do it for others, then say this following text for me and for others, and say al. But he doesn't say that. I mean, he specifically goes out of his way to show you, to be precise, what exactly you have to say. If in the bracha itself you'd be saying two different brachas, the Rambam should have to say that. Okay? So it's clear from the Rambam that no matter whether you're doing it for yourself or whether you're doing it for others, you say al. Okay, why? Why? Why don't you say, if you're doing it for yourself, right? Or it could just be the one the heir of the Rambam was talking about. Because the Rambam says the reason why you say al is because you're doing it for yourself and for others, right? And it's not an obligation, right? And you do it for yourself and your others. So if this is the Rambam, if this is the Erev he's talking about, then if you say le, I'm sorry, if you're doing it just for yourself, you should say le. But it's not true. So why not? So why don't you say le? If you do it for yourself.
Voluntary.
So it seemed to be the right answer is because it's totally voluntary. There's no halacha that you have to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. And there's no halacha that you have to put an Erev. It's totally optional. And since it's totally optional, I don't really care whether you're doing it for yourself or you're doing it for others. You say al. Right? You say al. And therefore, this is not the Rambam, but the Erev the Rambam's talking about.
That is why you say le.
Because that one implies that if you're doing it for yourself, you say le. And the Rambam openly says here, okay, to me it's open, that you always say al. Okay, and he openly has a case. He goes out of his way to tell you what you say, whether you're doing it for yourself or you're doing it for others. He could have just said you changed around the bracha. I mean, it's hard to me to believe that he's just relying on what he said over here, you know? He didn't say that over here, you know? He doesn't say over here, and if you do it for yourself, you say less. Okay, now the Rambam says, why is this called Erev? What does Erev have anything to do with it? So basically he says there's another Erev, which is when you make an Erev for the courtyards. And I'll go into it. But he says, there the term Erev makes sense. You're actually joining together. Erev means to join. You're joining together all the members of the courtyard. You take bread, and you make this bread as everybody's bread, and you're joining everybody together. Okay, and the term Erev is a very good term over there. And the Ram says, why is this called Erev? Because, you know, what are you joining? It's just, right? He says, oh, I'll tell you why.
Why
is Erev Tavshilin? By the Tavshilin's cooking. It's by the Yontif. He says, because just like the Erev by the courtyards is to remind people not to carry. They're allowed to carry in their courtyards, but it reminds you you're only allowed to carry in your courtyards, but you're not allowed to carry into the public street, which I'll talk about in a second. But just like that's to remind you not to carry, so too this cooked item is to remind you so that people don't think that you're allowed to cook from Yontif to Chol.
What are you joining?
You're not joining anything. And he says, therefore, it's called Erev Tavshilin. It's not. It's not your joining. You're not joining anything. It's just called this because just like that is a reminder, this is a reminder. Okay?
Okay.
So, if you're wondering, I think the Ravid asks the question on this properly. Kosev Ravid Zal, Hatam Hazeh Lina'arim. Okay? So this is the answer is for children. Right? He says, Kiloa Kihu Sha'ol, because it's Bar Me'er Chaseros, and he says, Kilomar Zemisham Eker, who is Zemisham Eker? Just like this is because of a reminder, this is a reminder. Ma Zeshmo Erev, Av Zeshmo Erev? Just because this is called Erev, we'll call this Erev? I mean, Erev there means something. It means joining. And here is undo joining. You say, well, there means joining, but the whole reason why you're doing it there is to remind you. And here's another thing which is to remind you, so we'll call this Erev. He says, that's a childish reason. Well, that's not, it's like associations. What? Well, that's not a reason. Don't name it that. So rather, he says, he says, rather, it's like you're joining together when you're preparing on Wednesday. You start preparing for Shabbos and for Yontif, so therefore you're joining together the needs of Shabbos and Yontif, and you show Shabbos and Yontif are one package deal, and therefore you'll remind people. So the way the reminder takes place is through actually joining something. Okay, which makes sense. But the Rambam's thing is basically saying it has nothing to do with joining. You're not joining anything. You can't join. For whatever reason, he doesn't like the Ravid's thing. You can't join. And just call this because whatever, reminder. So, I mean, it sounds like, the Rive is harsh, you know? I mean, he's harsh. That this is child's reasons. You know, I mean, I don't know if we'd say that about the Rambam, but, I mean, that's what it sounds like when you read it. It just sounds like, you know, that's not really a good way to name something, you know? Call it Chatzeros, call it courtyards. It's not good courtyards. So, of course, you're not going to call it courtyards. So, just say by the same logic, Erev Chatzeros means joining together courtyards. And Erev Tashila means joining together cooked items. What is joined together? Oh, it's not joined together. It's really just that. So, because it sounds like the same word and reminds us of remind, you know, which is it's very difficult. Okay. So, Adam, maybe we could explain this in a focus at some point. Okay. Fine. So, this is one Erev. The other Erev is, I'm just going to quickly. Another Erev is Erev Tchumen, which is the halacha is that you're only allowed to travel on Shabbos 2,000 amos, a certain distance. You're only allowed to travel. You're not allowed to travel like 3/4 of a mile, something like that. Not allowed to travel 3/4 of a mile outside of civilization. Civilization you can do, but if you want to go out on a hike in the woods or whatever, or out on some empty road, there's a limit to how far you're allowed to go. But you could extend it by putting down an Erev Tchumen, which means that you're allowed to go 2,000 amos from wherever you're dwelling. So let's say you're in the middle of the desert. So you're allowed to go 2,000 amos in any direction. Wherever you are at the beginning of Shabbos, that's where you're dwelling, and you're allowed to go 2,000 amos in any direction. But let's say you want to go 4,000 amos. So what you could do is, prior to Shabbos, you could put down an Erev, okay? Put down bread or whatever, food items, which says basically, I'm living 2,000 amos down. Even though at the beginning when Shabbos starts, I'm over here, right? I'm really living 2,000 amos down the road. And that's where my food is. And now, what?
The bread has to be over there.
The bread has to be over there. And then I can go 2,000 amos from that bread in any direction. But I'm not going to end up being able to go the other way from my city. Because that becomes now my base. You know, so I could extend where... Because I could choose where my center of my circle is going to be, so to speak. Or my center of where I could go. Okay, so if I don't put down an Erev, then it's just wherever I am at the beginning of Shabbos. If I put down an Erev, it's 2,000 miles in any direction from wherever I put down my Erev. So the Erev there, forget why it's called Erev, I don't know, but that's another kind of an Erev. And the Rambam there says you make a bracha the same way you make the bracha by Erev Chatzeres. He doesn't tell you whether or not you make it Aleh, he just doesn't say anything. Okay? But presumably you say Al. Now you could make an Erev for yourself, or you can make it for other people also. And you, but that's definitely optional. That's really optional. I mean, you'll see. But that's just if you want to extend your tefillah. I mean, no reason why you have to. It's just if you want to go further, then you could. If you don't want to go further, you don't. So that's optional also, and that would make sense that you should always say Al. Okay, the Rambam doesn't say. Just as you say, he doesn't say what bracha you make. Fine. The last one is Erev Chatzeros. Okay, which I what?
Yeah.
If you want to look at the Erev Chatzeir Tchumim, it's in Hilchas Erev in Vav Chav Dalet. Okay, Hilchas Erev in Vav Chav Dalet. He basically just says, just like you make a bracha on Erev Chatzeir, so too you make a bracha on this. Okay? He does say about you can do it for yourself or for others. But he doesn't differentiate about bracha. I mean, it would seem there's no two different brachas there. I mean, it would seem there are no two different brachas because he doesn't say if he held it should, he should say. But he doesn't. He's not as explicit. He doesn't say Al. He doesn't say anything. He just says, you say the same bracha as that. Okay. Now, by Erevin, Erev Chatzeros, so the basic idea of Erev Chatzeros is as follows. Okay? Basic halacha is that you have Rishus Rabim and Rishus Ayachad. So you have them private domains and public domains. Private domains you're allowed to carry. You're not allowed to carry from a private domain to a public domain on Shabbos. Okay? Now, technically, if you have a courtyard which is owned, which is surrounded by walls and owned by many people, it's a shared courtyard. They used to have their houses, private houses, would open up into a common courtyard. And that common courtyard would be surrounded by walls, and therefore, halachically, what makes something a private rishus, a private domain, is walls. So therefore, it's private. So it's private, and therefore you could carry from your house to the courtyard and back and forth, no problem, because it's private. That's defined as private, because it's surrounded by walls. You can't carry outside into the public, the square, which is not surrounded by walls, but the halachically, which is the private domain, goes by walls. So you're allowed to carry from your house to the courtyard, back and forth, no problems. But someone may think that's a public place, because after all, everyone's using it, it's not my house, it's relative to my house, that is public. So someone may think, if they see you carrying from your house to the courtyard, they'll say, oh, you're allowed to carry from private to public. And they're going to carry out to the private, to the marketplace, to the street. So therefore, what the Rabban said is that the only way you're not allowed to carry into your courtyard unless you make an Erev. And the Erev is basically, is you want to show that we're all, even though it's owned by many people, this is a courtyard for many, we're all really joined up together. And this is all, we all one common Rishos, it's all one common domain, it's all private. And the fact that we're carrying here has nothing to do with carrying out into a real public domain. This is not public, this is private, we're all together. And what you do is you take a piece of bread or whatever, a certain amount of food, and you make some sort of declaration that with this Erev, we're all joined together in this bread, and just like we're joined together in this bread, we're all joined together in this whole big domain, and therefore when we carry from here to there, it's not really a public domain, but really it's really a private domain. And because the fact that they're only allowed to carry based upon the existence of this bread, which clearly joins them together, it will make it clear to everybody that you can't carry to a real public domain. It reminds everybody that this is, it's a declaration, this is really one big public domain, private domain that we're all sharing. And then no one's going to come to then carry from their houses into the real public domain. Yeah. Now this only works if there are walls. It only works if there are walls. If it's not walled in, then it really is a public domain. So this only works if it's walled in. So the idea of putting up these, what commonly people think is called the Erev, is the wall, the wires and the sticks. That's not an Erev. That's mechitzos. That makes walls. Those are making doorways, which have a status in certain instances as well. If you just do the doorways, it's Rosh Hashanah, is a private domain because the walls. But bottom line is now there's a different problem, which is someone's going to think that it's a public domain. And if you're allowed to carry from my house to Jarvis Avenue, then someone's going to think I'm allowed to carry my house onto the Bell Parkway, which is clearly a public domain. So therefore, the Erev, well, technically the Erev is not those wires. The wires is called the Korah or called the Surah HaPesach. Wires are not called an Erev. An Erev is the bread which is in the shul which is for the entire community, which joins us all together, which we don't know about, so we don't call it Erev. But Matt said, and he and his, they hold the matzah, a box of matzah, in their apartment there in Harvard. Now, so it's matzah, it's bread, whatever, it's food. That is the Erev. And when you place the Erev, you say a bracha. Now, you can't place an Erev for yourself. If you have a private house, there's no such thing as an Erev. The whole idea of an Erev is you have a group of people and you're joining people. So there's no such thing as an Erev for yourself. So every Erev Chatzeros we're talking about is for yourself, is for you and for others. And therefore, if an Erev is not totally optional, which we don't know why, but an Erev is, it is always, the Ram doesn't have to say if you do an Erev for yourself, because you can't do an Erev for yourself.
But yeah, you could, because you could have a public domain.
So therefore, you're always doing it for you and for others, so it makes sense why the Ram doesn't say, the Ram says, therefore you say Al Mitzvah Erev, you always say Al Mitzvah Erev. You're never doing it for yourself. There's never a list.
So it can't be the way you're talking about.
No, it is, because he just says, that's why you say Al Mitzvah Erev. He doesn't say if you do it for yourself.
Yeah, I'm saying.
No, it is talking about this one. He never says if you do Erev for yourself, then you say Leh. He doesn't say that. He says if you take a mitzvah, which is not an obligation, and you're doing it for yourself and for others, you say Al. And therefore you say Al Mitzvah Erev. He doesn't say therefore if you make the Erev for your lots of people, you say Al Mitzvah Erev. He says therefore you say Al Mitzvah Erev. And that's what he means. Therefore, you always say, I'm saying that's what he said, therefore you always say Al Mitzvah Erev, because Erev is all, that's why it's the best model. Erev is always for yourself and for others. He doesn't have to say, it's always for yourself and for others, and therefore you're always saying Al. Okay, you're always saying Al. The problem is, why don't you say it's optional? Why don't you say this Erev is optional? Right, and therefore it should just be, Al. The problem is, what is the Ram talking about? No, I'm saying he has to talk about one kind of Erev in Brachas. He definitely is not talking about the Erev for cooking, because there he openly says that if you do it for yourself, you say Al. So he's not talking about that one. Maybe he's talking about this one.
How do you know he's not talking about that one? Because the implication here is that
what?
How do you know he's not talking about that one?
Because here he says if you do mitzvah for yourself and for others, then you say Al. But if there is a case that you do it only for yourself, then you're going to have to say Leh. Right, because he's saying is the reason why.
But then
don't say that's why you're saying Al Mitzvah Erev. The reason why I say Al Mitzvah Erev is because it's totally voluntary.
Okay, fine.
What implying is this is the way I'm learning is that this is why you're saying Al. If you're saying Al because it's totally voluntary, then this isn't why you're saying Al. You're saying Al because it's totally voluntary. That's why I think it's a question is that why is he saying the reason why he's saying Al by Erev is because it's for yourself and for others. He says Al because it's not even you have to say Al because it's totally voluntary and totally voluntary mitzvahs. You have to say Al. That's like more primary. Is Al is totally voluntary? You always say Al totally voluntary.
Right.
So therefore, it would seem if you follow my reasoning here that this is not totally voluntary. And the question is why not? Because it seems like it is totally voluntary. Okay, it seems like it is totally voluntary because you're not obligated. Yeah, because you don't have to carry. It's only if you want to carry. You're not obligated to carry.
But again, I don't see.
What I'm just saying is that if you still make Erev Chatzeros, sometimes you always do for everybody. But why is it, according to the Ram, do you say Al? Okay? So, I'd say is because it's optional. Optional mitzvahs. All Erevs should just be one felt swoop. They're all totally optional. Okay? But don't tell me it's because you're doing it for yourself and for others, and that's why you say Al Mitzvah Erev. That's not why you say Al Mitzvah Erev anyways, because Al Mitzvah Erev is almost, it's just optional. I mean, it implies that it's in the ballpark of saying Le or Al, but the reason why you're saying Al is because the fact that it's for yourself and for others. But I'm saying, why is it even in the ballpark? It's totally optional. If you're with me, then we don't have time now, but I want to look into Erev Chatzeros, because that's what I think. I think that you have to somehow show that Erev Chatzeros is not totally optional.
Again, how are we limiting Erev
Chatzeros? But the other ones are. Well, the problem is that the other ones, let's say Erev Tchumim, so if you say this by Erev Chatzeros, so he's talking about Erev Chatzeros, now maybe he's also talking about Erev Tchumim. You put up, you extend your, how far you could go. By there, he says, you say the bracha the same way you say the bracha by Erev Chatzeros, you say the bracha by Erev Tchumim. Okay? Now, that's what he says. He doesn't say what bracha. Now, but by Tchum, you could do it for yourself or you could do it for others. So he shouldn't say, if by Erev Chatzeros you're always saying Al, and by Erev Tchumim, it depends. If you do it for yourself, you say Le. If you do it for others, you say Al. Then he should say, because he tells you again the texts of what you say is for yourself or for others, he should say, if you do it for yourself, you say Le. If you do it for others, you say Al. But he doesn't say that. implying is that it's the same way you always make al bayir chatzer, as you always make al bayir chatzer, even though you can do it for yourself. So Gush says, why? But the answer is clear, because that's totally optional. So since it's totally optional, it really is the same bracha. It's al. It's always al. Okay, and the question then is, so Eretz Yisrael, the reason why we're saying al is because it's totally optional, even though it could be for yourself. And Erev Tchum also, even though it could be for yourself, you say al because it's totally optional. So Gush says, why is also? And all Erevs are just going to be all the same. They're just all al because they're totally optional. So what does he even need to get into this thing over, you know, in the Yadalit? The implication is that there's an Erev which is not totally optional. Yeah, he says, in Baruch al Mitzvah Erev. He says, by Erev Chatzeres, he says al. I mean, you could say, unless you want to say al Mitzvah Erev means on, or whatever. Al Mitzvah Erev. So he says, by Erev Chatzeres, he says al Mitzvah Erev. So that definitely is saying al Mitzvah Erev. And then he says, by Erev Tchum, by the going the distance, it's like saying the bracha the same way. So it implies you're also always saying al. So basically, he never has anywhere a bracha of le erev. He never has that. Len yach erev. There's no bracha like that in the Rambam. So you're always saying al. But by most erevs, you could do it for yourself alone. By erev el tavshilin, like cooking, and by the going far away, you could do it for yourself. So why isn't there a bracha of le? Right? You're doing it for yourself. Why does he never have it? Unless because they're both are optional. So if you'll say those are optional, so then say Erev Chatzer is also optional. So in which case you don't have to say the reason why you're saying Al is because you're doing it for yourself and for others. Unless you'll say it's not totally optional. Well, if it's not totally optional, you tell me Erev Chatzer is different than the other ones, we have to look into Erev Chatzer and figure out why it's different. So that's what hopefully we'll do by tomorrow. So if you want to do that, you should read the first few halachos and Erev Chatzer. I mean, anyways, it's good. It's good to get familiar with what Erevin are, because if you ever do Sugyas and Gemara, Erevin come up. It's important to know what they are, just a fact. So it's basically the first six halachos in Hilchos Erevin. Okay?
First six
halachos. Where he really gives you a rundown. Some of them we discussed.
In Paragalas.
Yeah, Paragalas, yeah. Okay, so maybe we'll go through some of them and try to figure out. And if you want, you could juxtapose that to the ones by Erev Tavshilin, which we talked about. Maybe you'll be able to understand the Rambam and the Raavad there also, I will say.